With you this morning, I am operating off of a partial voice today, so my prayer is that I'll get through this service this morning and I'll be okay. So with that, you could pray for that this morning. Thank you all for leading us in the children's message today. I'm going to invite you to turn in your pew Bible this morning as we begin our new series on the parables of Jesus. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 33 through 34. That gives us just a little snapshot of Jesus' parables and what they mean in Scripture. This morning, this will be the introductory sermon to this series that we're going to go through over the next several weeks. And on the back of the outline this morning, if you were in your bulletin, you'll see a list of the different sermons that will preach on the parables of Jesus Christ and His work here in this world. And so we'll take one Sunday and we'll study one parable at a time. Now, we will not go through all of the parables, because if we were really serious, we would see Jesus teach 68 of them in Scripture, in the New Testament. And so we will find the more common ones that Jesus preaches to the people for everyday life and how we should live our lives. And so we'll begin that today with this series. So turn with me to your Bible, and let us read together those couple verses of the Word of God. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather today in your presence. Lord, we've heard from your word this morning. Lord, may you enlighten us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may these words be your words and not my own. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with that same spirit that filled this church and your people and the disciples and even Jesus at times. Lord, I pray that my voice will hold out for this service this morning. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today to hear your word, Lord, and your message concerning their lives. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to your teaching, and may they apply it to their life. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let me start off a little bit of a story with you this morning. There was an airline pilot that was flying over the southern portions of the United States, and he called the local control tower, and he asked this question. We are passing over at 35,000 feet. Could you give us the time? And the radio control tower, they answered back and they said this, what airline are you? And the pilot said, what difference does it make? And this is what the radio control tower said. Oh, it makes a lot of difference. If you're a Transworld airline or Pan Am, it's 1,600 hours. If you're United or Delta, it's 4 o'clock. If you're Southern Airways, the little hand is on the 4 and the big hand's on the 12. And if you're Skyway, it's Thursday. The point I make with this little story this morning that kind of makes us laugh is that people love to hear stories. They learn from them. They place themselves in the center of that story, and they're either one of the other characters, and you see a picture of yourself in that story. So this morning, as we begin this study on the parables of Jesus Christ, we place ourselves in the story. We can evaluate ourselves to see how we're living our lives according to the Word of God in Scripture. That's what we do in the parables of Jesus Christ. Those are the things we're going to learn over the next several weeks as we study the Word of God. Now, it's not surprising. Many of you will recognize this. Some of the best known parts of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are stories. You learn them in Sunday school as a young child. Let me remind you of a few of them. Noah and the ark. Jonah and the whale. Moses fleeing Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. Stories are what people tend to remember from the Bible. Now let me do a little test this morning with you. Go to the New Testament with me, and now think in your mind. I want you to finish what I'm going to say. Jesus is born in a... Very good. What else could you say? A manger, right? Yes. How about another one? Jesus was walking on water. Yeah, very good. Here's another one. Jesus turned water into... Wow. Notice how you know all of those biblical stories that you've been taught even as a child. You remember those things. Do you see why Jesus uses parables in Scripture? They relate to our life and they're easy to understand at times. We can figure them out as Jesus teaches us His ways. Now the word parable comes from two words in the Greek. If you go back and you study the original Word of God in the Greek New Testament, this is what parable means, and I think I have it on the screen here this morning, yeah? So it comes from two words, para meaning other, and bowl, whatever, or parable means speaking. So like another person is speaking, so we're going to define that just a little bit more this morning. In layman's terms, it means that you put a story alongside a current situation to help you better explain or understand what's going on. You've probably used parables in your own life. When you try to explain something to a child. How many of you ever used this story? You know, how many days is it till we go on vacation, Mom or Dad? Well, it's about three sleeps. Right? You get that? Three nights. People have used that. They use a parable to explain to your children. How do they understand things? And so Jesus uses parables in Scripture for us to understand His teachings. Now, a parable also helps explain not only a situation or to describe a story in a different way, but they also grasp the listener. They pull you in. They challenge you. And so we're going to see some of that as well this morning. Usually, a parable will contrast two unlike things. Here's the real thing about a parable this morning. That means that as you hear the parable, you have a choice to make within the parable of who you are. Who are you in the story? What side are you on? Where do you need to be in the story according to the teaching of Jesus in the parable? What's also unique about the parables of Jesus that we're going to study, and just like I told you, they're a parallel story that we help explain another situation. In Jesus' parables, what's unique about them is there's no parallel story in the Bible. When He gives you the parable, it just ends, and right there it is. Guess who the parallel is, people? Anybody want to take a guess at that? It's on the bottom of your screen. You are the parallel to the story and how you live your life out. So Jesus gives you the parable. He says, here, this is how you should live your life according to Scripture. Now, how are you doing? What does that look like in your life? When you hear the parable, you are the parallel to the story. When Jesus speaks these words to us, they teach us, they tell us how to live. Now remember, they contrast two different things. That's where you need to make the decision in your life of where you're at, maybe where you should be according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now let me give you an example. I like to always send you home with work and give you an example here this morning of what that should look like. And so we're going to turn to, if you want to, you can get your Bible out this morning, to Luke chapter 10. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but verses 25 through 39 are the parable of the Good Samaritan. A lot of us know that story, don't we? It's a common story. It's one we can relate to. It's one we understand. So we're going to do a little test this morning, what I've just taught you about the parallel of being in the parable that we're going to learn about here today. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 39. I won't go through that, but you can see that and get the gist of it. But here's the nuts and bolts of it, if I could paraphrase that this morning. A man gets robbed along the road. He's beaten. He's left for dead. They steal all his stuff, and they leave the guy lay there. And some people travel this road. There's one in particular, a priest, a Jew, a follower of God, who decides that, you know, I see this situation up here, but I'm going to pass on the other side of the road, and I'm going to act as if he's not even there. And then we see the second man in the story do the same thing. And then the third man comes by. He's called the Good Samaritan. He came along, and he had compassion on the man, and he helped the man out. He took him to safety. He paid for the care of this man so he could get well again. And if you really study the parable deep, which we will get into, you realize that Samaritan people were hated by all their neighbors. Do you see the contrast? Are we the two first people? Or are we the third person, the Good Samaritan? You know which Jesus, which one Jesus calls you to be in this life. And so you got the contrast. You get to pick now who am I or how am I living out my life now according to this parable? And where does Jesus expect me to be in the midst of that story? That's the challenge. Now, if you're like me, I can find myself on both sides of that story. There have been times when I should have stopped and should have helped the person that was in need, and I passed by. And afterwards, there's regret. And then I've been in the story where I've stopped and I've helped the person that's in need to get them back on their feet, whatever it might be, through prayers or financially, or maybe they need just help talking through something. And I'm sure you have seen or been through some of the same things. Do you see how the parables of Jesus work and how they teach you how to live out your life? So next week, Sunday, we're going to talk about dirt, everyone, soil, and how Jesus uses dirt to teach us how we should live our lives, about our faith. So this morning, we just take a little peek of the Good Samaritan. You are the parallel to the story. Now, the intent of the parables is to inform us by describing some type of reality to have an effect on us in our daily lives. They're given that we might understand and live according to their teaching. Now, if you read these parables, you notice that they catch you by surprise. When he meets with somebody, you'll notice on all the parables, Jesus just blurts out this parable to the person. He gives them no chance to defend themselves. He gives them no chance to make a rebuttal. He just spurts out the parable and he says, here it is. Now, what are you going to do with it? Here's my teaching. This is the way. You decide. How often does that happen in our lives as you live out this Christian faith, as you walk with Jesus Christ in your life? You have to make a decision. And so I guarantee you over the next several weeks, they will challenge you in different areas of your faith walk. Some won't be easy. Some you'll rejoice and you'll feel blessed by because you're doing those things in your life. But the intent is that they direct us in a way that leads us closer to Jesus and to live for him in our lives. And by all means, to make an effect on the world that we live in today. So may you remember that this morning. What is so powerful about these parables is that 2,000 years ago, they changed people's lives. And guess what? Today, they are still changing people's lives. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we continue to preach the word of Jesus Christ to those that need to hear the word of salvation through Jesus Christ. May you be blessed this morning as we enter into this new series of parables of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,